Hi, everyone. I'm Eleanor, and you're listening to Sweet Deviation, the podcast designed to help you navigate, organize, and get creative while living with ADD. In each episode, I'll share personal stories, tricks, and insights that I've used to break through daily challenges. And together, we will lean into the diagnosis and stop fighting our natural tendencies. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 9. Today, we're going to be talking about the fear of failure. So if you have an anxiety or frustration around the fear of failure, you're in the right place. We've all heard the saying, fake it till you make it, right? Well, I've tried that for years, and I'll be honest, I felt like a fraud, and I don't want to fake it anymore. So if you're like me, continue to take a listen to this episode and see if we can't make it together. Now, if you listen to episode 8, where I talked about confidence, you might feel that the idea of being likable and exuding confidence is still incongruent with feelings of self-doubt and self-deprecating habits that you might have. And I totally feel you. I totally get it. But I have had to change my course, and I want to be on board with finding ways to align my mind to my actions. But now, I'm going to take a moment in this episode to say something I haven't really said before. I want to suggest that if you haven't already spoken to a medical professional, you do owe it to yourself to try. By now, the stigma of needing help should be gone, right? We've talked about that. Remember the need to talk to a professional, and getting help, even if it's medication or whatever it is that you need, is no different than needing glasses to focus. We just need a little help focusing, and there's absolutely no shame in it. Before I was diagnosed, I'll admit I was opposed to medication. I kind of felt that it was a weakness if I admitted that I needed help. But I don't anymore. I think that part of our can-do attitude, on our, you know, we're do-it-yourselfers typically, and I think that we might get in our own way when it comes to admitting that we could use a little help. So I encourage you, if you've come this far in this podcast and haven't, you know, if some of the stuff resonates with you, but you haven't gotten medical help, just consider it. Consider picking up the phone, especially now. A lot of people are helping remotely. So I hope you have a better experience than I did, but I don't poo-poo the idea. I definitely think that getting the help that you need is critical in taking that step to get you to a place where you're complete and whole and feel like you can just conquer the world and reach all of your potential. So, okay, that was my little break from this episode. Now I want to come back. So we're talking about fear of failure, and it is such a regular, like, it plays in my mind all of the time, and it generally results in feelings of frustration or low self-worth. So it isn't because I'm not capable of success. It's because I'm so afraid of failing. It's so heavy. I have to imagine that if you're still listening, it's something that you completely understand. Now, I had talked about being able to hyper-focus in one episode, and that's when I think this is appropriate to share that story about when I was hyper-focused and making an Excel program for a knitting pattern. So for those of you who aren't knitters, I'll just give you some idea. When you knit a sweater, there's a lot of math involved. And I've also shared with you that I'm not the best, or at least I've told myself over the years that I wasn't great at math. And I am honestly not good at technology. Technology baffles me because it's not tangible. I really need tangible things, which is why I love books more than I love digital books. It's just not my jam. But I like to have things in my hand. Audiobooks, though, I'm learning audiobooks are wonderful for me because I can do something else while I'm listening. So right up my alley. All right, so back to this knitting program. I had spent so much time devoted to working on the formulas to make sure that, you know, if I measured somebody, I could click in the formula and it would spit out a pattern that was specific to their body size, their measurement, and their knitting style. So I won't get into the details of that except to say that I decided that it would be a good thing to have an online class. And this is probably before we had opened the store. We had not yet opened the shop. So I was kind of working from home, but I wasn't selling. I wasn't in sales anymore. So I was kind of in this hiatus period. And I decided that I would take some time and spend that energy on this project. And one of the things that was part of the project was it was going to have video instructions that went with each of the lessons, right? So it was going to be a full-on website. I was going to build the website from the ground up and try to sell this knitting course. I worked on it. I was excited about learning that. Once I nailed the thing and the formula worked and I knit my first sweater exactly how it said, I thought, good, this is an excellent product. I was going to put my name on it. I was proud of it. Then I had to learn how to promote it. So I took a class about, you know, how to get the SEO right on the website and then how to use different programs to make ads and, you know, all the ways to that you need to write copy. So all of that work was done and I was pretty exhausted. So at that point, I thought, I'm just going to go ahead and launch it. And, you know, probably nobody will see it and it's not a big deal, but at least I'll feel like once I push go, I'll feel accomplished, right? So the knitting course that I finished, the last thing I did was post go. Jim got home from work that evening and said, hey, let's go. This is all pre-pandemic. He said, let's go grab dinner. So it sounded great. I was exhausted. I didn't make dinner and going out for a margarita sounded fantastic. So as we're sitting in this little Mexican restaurant that we like, I started to tell him about my day and how proud I was because I had launched this course. And he says, oh, so like you launched it how? Like launched it to come out later? And I said, no, it's live now. So as I'm telling him this, he says, yes, but did you do the videos? And I said, well, I just don't think anybody's going to buy the course. I just wanted to see if I could figure out the tech side of how to do it. No sooner had I told him that my ring starts to ping. My phone is pinging in my pocket. Like I have a sale and I have a sale and I have a sale. And as my dinner's coming, I'm really starting to sweat it because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to get home and work on these videos. So we wrap up dinner and it was insanity. Like all the way home, I'm already thinking like, how am I going to write the intro? My thought had been, because it does take a long time. I'm a fast knitter, but most people are going to take longer to knit the sweater. So I thought that if I could stay two steps ahead, then I would have plenty of time to upload the next video. So I'm home. It is about 9:30. I start to plan how I'm going to do this. And I tell Jim, let's go. We have an old house, right? So I said, let's go to the parlor and let's work on the first video. Well, the first video was garbage. The sound was garbage. The lighting was horrible. So Jim says, don't worry. Just start working on the first steps of the knit that you need. And when you're done, come and get me. I'm working on an idea. So I go and I do that. Then when I came back, on our mic stands and on some of our music equipment, Jim has got like plastic Folgers buckets with LED lights that he's put in there. And as a diffuser, I think he used parchment paper or freezer paper taped with masking tape. Like it was horrible, right? And we had taped off the area where if we shot it, that would be the best lighting where there'd be no shadows. I mean, he had worked this all out. And, you know, I had a very limited space where I could show this knitting, right, as I was videotaping it. So needless to say, I got through the first one. I had already sent an automated, as part of my launch, had sent an automated welcome series that gave them a list of materials they were going to need. So the next step was to introduce them to the first steps of the class. So bottom line is, I knit an entire sweater in a matter of 2 days trying to record all of these videos. And as I would finish one part, like if I did the collar, he would tape that and I would go back and I would knit the other bit until we're completely done. And I never got a complaint. Like everybody who bought the course was fine with the course. I never heard negative feedback. In fact, it's a course that I sell now at my shop. And I like that because it was done in such a way that I didn't have a time to reconsider or to really nitpick. I had to do it. So that was an example of there was no, you know, fake it till you make it. I had no choice. I had to make it. Like that was it. I had made my commitment. I put my name on it. And I share this because as crazy as it sounds, and maybe it sounds deceptive because I was selling something before I was done doing it, I'll tell you, I didn't believe it would sell. I had so little confidence in myself that I think I was just glad that I figured out how to do it and hadn't thought through the rest of it. So those are patterns that you will see a lot if you have ADD. We do have this need for spontaneity. I would say that was spontaneous. And impulsivity, absolutely, that was impulsive. For those of you who are old enough to know or familiar with Paul Harvey, well, now you know the rest of the story. So what I learned from this, what I learned from that experience was, number one, that Jim is going to help me no matter what. He was just on board with this whole idea that we were going to stay up and record these videos, and he was so wonderful and helpful. And it wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. The fear of doing it, because I was under pressure, I didn't have time to worry about that. And in the end, it worked out. Many times our anxieties come because we give ourselves too much time to think about it, right? So I have pared it down to this. We're either afraid of making mistakes. And I have found that when I make mistakes, I generally survive, right? Like I'm here. There hasn't been a mistake that I've not survived yet. And yes, it could be embarrassing. And yes, it could be stressful. But we can generally survive those things. The second kind of anxiety would be something like, you know, I just don't want to make anybody angry. So that was a real concern of mine. I didn't want anyone to be disappointed with the content of that product or with the actual Excel page, right? I wanted it to work. And in the end, I thought, well, even if it didn't, and if some of the directions were unclear, I could still refine it. I think that I allowed myself that space where people were really happy to message back and say, hey, I didn't understand this. Can you answer this question? And at the time, I had a Facebook group so people could post on there. And I was able to, in real time, answer people's questions. So it actually built community. So it was a benefit that it wasn't exactly perfect, right? And I learned that because I entered that process honestly, that people were willing, they didn't feel taken advantage of, they were willing to work with the whole process. And it was really fun because we did it together. Now, the third kind of fear is something that's going to result in physical pain or death. And to that, I say, no. Don't do that, okay? If it's just a fear of making a mistake, jump in. Make those mistakes. If it's fear of making people upset or mad, you can fix that. If you're dealing with them in honesty and kindness, that can be fixed. But by all means, if you feel that you're going to be putting yourself at risk physically or that there's going to be any kind of a real danger, then let's not do that, okay? That's another podcast, not this one. The other thing that I took away from that, aside from dealing with the fact that no fear was, it wasn't so bad, it wasn't that terrible. The other thing that I learned is that I do work best under pressure. I think that we will find that pressure causes us to kind of push ourselves. I think that's why I loved broadcast journalism so much, because every day it was a deadline. I didn't have a choice. It was fast moving, and I never had a chance to second guess myself. Not on the spot anyway. I did plenty of that after the show was over. In terms of pushing yourself, if there is a project that you have to do, I'm not saying wait till the last minute. Let's not do that. But if you can make some deadlines, if you set that timer like we've talked about, then you can put a little bit of a self-imposed pressure. And I think that at least in my case, it helps. The other thing that I learned was that working at night really, really is effective for me. I started working when I did consulting years ago when my kids were young. I would work after I put them to bed. I would do all of my work at home from my home office. And I never realized how I was so effective then. I was never tired. But I think all of the distractions of the day were gone. It was quiet, it was dark, and it was just me and the computer. I find that that's true now when I put earbuds in. I kind of get rid of all of the exterior distractions, and I have learned that that's a good way for me to put my attention, kind of focus the attention where it needs to be at the moment. So that was the second thing I learned. And third, what I learned from this experience was that I survived it. It didn't end me. And even if I had got terrible reviews, I could have taken the reviews and I could have changed that product up so that it would be more effective. And I think that that was the biggest reward that I could have given myself, was that I didn't wait until it was perfect. You don't fake it till you make it. Just make it. Make it. So what I offer you today is this crazy story, not because I suggest that you go out there and put yourself in a position that's completely uncomfortable for you, but if it's uncomfortable, ask yourself, why is it uncomfortable? Is this fear that I have, is it real? Is there a real danger? And if there isn't, just give it a shot. And I'm talking about today. If there's something that you've been wanting to do, jump in and just do it. Don't wait till it's perfect. You'll have plenty of time to get there. So what I hope that you'll do today is, if there is something daring that you'd like to try, do it. And then let us know. Tell us how it went, because I'm really interested to hear if it was as awful as you imagined that it would be. And I also like to know what you learned from that experience. So I really am hoping that we can build a community where we can encourage one another. And all of your comments are always welcome. Again, like I mentioned previously, if you need to seek medical professional help to get you to a place where you really understand it, this podcast is not that. You know, I'm just telling you what my experiences are. I encourage you to reach out, find out the kind of ADD or ADHD that you might have, and then find out what's the best course of action for you there. This is intended only to be a support to those kind of treatments that you get. Find out what you need and give yourself permission to take advantage of the help that's out there, just like we would a pair of glasses. And also, give yourself permission to enjoy a sweet deviation. Thanks for listening.